Hi, what's up, everybody? This is For What It's Worth, and I'm your host, Wes Hoffman. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I say that every time. I'm going to keep saying it every time because I really do appreciate it, and I am your host. This episode is with Kyle and Kevin from Oh the Humanity. This is an awesome episode. I know I've been saying that the last three or four episodes, probably every episode. This is just a good one. I know these guys. We got to play with them in New York City last year at Music Fest here, which we are playing again. The Humanity is not, but Wes Hoffman and Friends are playing again on May 24th at the Woodshop in Brooklyn, New York. So make sure if you're listening out in that area, come to the show. Come to the show on May 24th. But anyway, this is a great episode. I really love talking to these guys. I immediately fell in love with their sound when I first kind of started hearing about them. I heard about them originally through Trevor Riley of A Wilhelm Scream, who recorded their record. So I started listening to their back catalog and got to meet them in New York, and they're great dudes. So they have a new album out right now called Ground to Dust, and it's very, very good. I pre-ordered it on vinyl and got it in about a month or so ago, and it's very good. So if you're listening to this episode and you do want to support them, go to Sell the Heart Records if you're in the U.S. Go to Thousand Island Records if you're in Canada, and go to Engineer Records if you're in the U.K. And you can get it from any one of those labels. So it's really good. They have a really cool mix. They have a really cool sound, and they're great guys. So I really enjoyed this doing this episode, like I've said already. and if you're listening in Canada, they are touring in Canada soon, I think Ontario and Quebec. So make sure to be on the lookout for that. But otherwise, enjoy this episode with Kevin and Kyle from Oh the Humanity.
Like, we're recording right now, because if I don't do that, we miss all the good stuff. We already missed Boner.
Yeah, we did. We can't recreate that. And recreate that magic.
This is a good one too, because I sometimes when I do this, I don't know the people already, and I already know you guys, and I've listened to your album a bunch of times. I have it on vinyl, so like,
hell yeah.
Thank yeah, you, buddy. So this is gonna be good. So Kevin and Kyle from Oh the Humanity, how are you guys?
Doing good. Well, how are you?
How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm mad that you guys aren't playing Music Fest here again, though.
I know. Two out of three ain't bad.
Oh, you guys played the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's okay. Well, then we played the last two and you guys played the first two. So
there you go. Yeah. So it all evens out.
Yeah. I'm going
to
start
the possibility if I'm not working, I'm just going to ride down with one fall and go to it. But
yeah,
there's a good chance I have to work that weekend. So. Okay. It all depends.
Well, don't tell me, and then I'll just be surprised if you show up or not.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start this off. I always put out, like, on Instagram, what questions you have for this band. And we had one. I've got to remember the dude's name. It was from Moshachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
What's your favorite Wilhelm Scream song?
Favorite of all time?
We built the city on debts and booze.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think if there's one, like, man, I've been a fan of that band for so long. So, like, my mind immediately goes to old tunes. So, I guess Dreaming of Throwing Up, maybe?
Okay.
Maybe. And that's, I think, not one that I would put on, like, if I was to put them on right now, listen to them, it wouldn't be the song. But if I was like, if I could only listen to one more song, like if I was going to die in 5 minutes and I was going to put on a song, that would probably be it.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I'd have to say either The King Is Dead, which was, I think, was one of the first songs that I got into them during the Ruiner era. And then The Kids Can Eat a Bag of Dicks.
Oh yeah. Also
that,
great.
I think that's the one that I really liked. Yeah.
There's no losers in that catalog. Yeah. So no. They're all good picks.
Although I definitely have heard, you know, Kevin and I have both heard like some instrumental demos from their forthcoming record from when we were making our record. And I have a feeling like one of those songs will end up being my favorite. Just because, like, the instrumental demos were just like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. You know? So it's like, sorry,
Trev. Still have another gear.
I'm blowing up your spot there, Trev, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's... I'm an album guy. I'm not, like, a song... Like, I'm a... I like albums are supposed to be, like, one piece of art.
Yeah.
And I love the way... When an album is structured in a way that it's not just, like, a bunch of songs. And so, for me, like... You can kind of tell it seems like... Built the City was like written to be the ending song on this like gigantic record. And it's also like every song on that album is like in the 2 to 3 minute mark for the most part. And then they end on this big, like 5.5 minute, just ripper. And it's just got all these different moods and like things it weaves in and out of. So I don't know, just that to me is like whenever I get to the end of that record, I'm always just like, oh yeah, this is like that. It's like that final stretch, you know, you're getting your second or third wind.
Yeah. It kind of rewards the listener because you get like, you listen to this whole album and it's all really good. And it's like, you make it to the end and you have this like masterpiece song at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a good segue though, because you guys recorded your album with Trevor from A Wilhelm Scream, right? He mixed and mastered
He mixed it.
Recorded and mixed, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, recorded and mixed.
Yeah, so, and it's out now, Ground to Dust. How does it feel? So last year when I saw you guys, it was done, but it wasn't out yet. I totally know how that goes. but now it's out. How does it feel like, you know, once you're sitting on this album and it's done, how does it feel to finally have it out and have people listen to it and respond?
It's the best. It was done for almost a year by the time we put it out. And, you know, the full length we did before this one, we were sitting on it through a bunch of COVID waiting. And then this one, we were sitting on it through a bunch of like, we still had a bunch of stuff to figure out internally about artwork and other stuff. And then just like finding the right time to put it out waiting. So it's always hard to sit on something that you feel like is done. Right. And then all there is to listen to it and think about like, what you could have done or what you could like what it could have been if you're like, oh, we had gone and done this thing or that thing. And I will say there was a lot of that with the previous full length I won't speak for the other guys, but for me personally with this one, much less so. Like, I'm so thrilled with how it came out and I'm so glad that people are enjoying it. Yeah. It's the best feeling
to me. I'm already like, I joke with the guys. I'm already, because some of the songs were written like close to 4 years ago. And so I'm already like, oh, that's the old record. That to me at this point, like once it came out, it was like, that's the old record. That's not even the new record anymore. Like I'm like, I'm so happy. Like it's the best thing I've ever done. Like speaking for myself. And I'm like, I'm super happy. It's being received really well. It came out fantastic. Like it couldn't have been better, but I've had to sort of mentally be like, all right, I'm enjoying playing these songs, but like from a creative standpoint, I'm like sort of putting it in the rear view mirror. Cause like now we're getting into that, like, oh, now we got to write the next one.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, we're back to, I remember reading this thing where like George Carlin would talk about when he would do like a special. And this is in the days where like comedians just had a set they did their whole career. When Carlin would do a special, he would just retire all of that material and start from nothing. He was like one of the first comedians to do that. And it's kind of that thing of like, oh, we don't have anything now. Now it's like a blank slate. Now we got to build this back up and just go through this multi-year cycle of frustration and like hard work again.
Yeah. No, dude, I totally relate to that because like our album's been out for a year now, our first album.
Yeah.
And we have another one already done and it's going to come out either later this year or early next year. And people are still discovering this new, the album that's out. It's like new to them because it's only been out like a year, but to us it's old, you know what I mean? And so you're like, oh, well, I'm glad people are liking it, but like I'm in my, and I don't say this when people are like, oh yeah, I love your album. It's, you know, I'm like, I don't say like, oh, wait till you hear the new stuff. Cause I don't want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
You do have that in the back of your mind of like, you know.
Yeah, it's like you're not like you're never done.
It's yeah, just like yeah.
You enjoy like the release cycle and it was great doing that whole thing and yeah, riding that wave of like, yeah, still people are discovering it, brand new people are getting it and getting messages and stuff, but it is that like now we gotta go create a bunch of more stuff now. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about and you guys have been a band for 10 years, right? Or more?
Yeah, we formed it in 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so awesome. So yeah.
You guys have been doing it a while. So this album is like to me it's super technical and I've seen you guys play and you're super technical. Like when you started out, did you initially start out with the idea of, you know, and I love like technical skate punk shreddy stuff, like Strung Out, Wilhelm, like Belvedere. I'm totally into that kind of stuff. I can't play it, but like, but like, did
neither
you,
can I.
Sometimes I don't know if we can.
did you guys start out with that in mind of like, hey, we want to be this like techie punk band or like, you know, did it, or is it just kind of all the influences of you guys collectively coming together? Like, do you have guys in the band that are super into metal and like thrashy stuff, or, you know, did you intentionally set out with that mindset of like, this is the kind of music we want to make?
Yeah. So, kind of the former. So where all of our various musical interests intersect is kind of like the Wilhelm sphere, right? What that you were describing. So like some of the guys are like super metal leaning and like that's where they spend a lot of their listening time, or at least like in our younger years, that's where we spend a lot of our listening time. And then other of us like me lean a little more poppy, but then like we all kind of meet in the middle in this one space. And like our two guitar players, Jim and Chris, have been friends forever and like playing in various hardcore bands and all different kinds of bands together. And even when they're not in bands, they're just getting together and like exchanging riffs and playing and talking about guitar stuff. And those guys had various like songs ideas from other projects and stuff when they started jamming out what would be OTH. And then Teeny, our drummer, joined the mix, and I'd actually been in a ska band with Teeny like in early days of college, so like way prior to this project happening. And then the guys were trying out singers, and I hadn't been in a band in years. And I tried out a few people, and then my name came up, and they're like, would Kevin even be into this? He's like, well, he likes this kind of music. I guess let's call him and see. And it all worked out. But yeah, I'd been out of the game for years at that point. But I had been kind of like missing being creative and all that. And yeah, it kind of worked out perfectly. Because like the way the older stuff especially could have gone, it could have gone either way. It could have been like a more screamy leaning vocalist, or it could have been a more like singing leaning vocalist. And at first when we started, if you listen to that first record, you can kind of hear I'm doing a little bit of both, because it's kind of like not really sure where this is going to go yet, because like that first record is kind of a collection of songs more than it is an album. I mean, I think it's pretty cohesive, but it's certainly like there was a batch of songs that we had at the beginning, and then there was a batch of songs we had when the record was ready to be recorded. But yeah, sort of the story.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, I definitely like the on your newest album and other stuff that I've heard from you guys too. Like, I definitely like the mix of technicality but also melody. Like, I'm a really big metal melody guy, so like I like that there's stuff that I can sing along to, but there's also stuff that I'm like, I like to listen to music that challenges me in the way that I think about like guitar and stuff. So your stuff really does that for me too. So yeah. It checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, you gotta awesome. Have something that's gonna like, you know, you can do the shreddy thing all day, and that's like fun to do. I just realized in the course when Kevin was explaining, over the course of 20 years, I have been in three bands with Jim, our guitar player, and they're the three most technical bands I've ever been in. Cause like Jim just knows how to write, and Chris too, but like those guys, you know how to write the shreddy stuff, and I could listen to that all day, but like you do need a earworm or a melody that's gonna like draw in the sort of casual non-musician, because like guitar players are nerds and they're gonna nerd out over all that kind of stuff. And but like if you don't have a melody like, you gotta just, you know, you gotta, we jokingly like, oh, like this chorus, that's for like the fest crowd or whatever. Like, you gotta, you know, the people who like the big sing-along melodic, like, you have to have that. That's what keeps people coming back. Because if you're just doing noodly stuff all the time, it's like, I can just go to my Guitar Center and watch someone noodle incessantly if I want to.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
Well, where do a lot of your influence, because you do some crazy stuff on the bass, like, where does a lot of your influence come from as a musician?
I mean, I'm definitely one of the more like metal leaning dudes in the band. It was like a lot of like early Metallica, Rush. Even like I went to school and studied jazz bass. I went through the Jaco Pastorius phase, like every bass player does when he's like 16 or 17 or whatever. So I just like, I've definitely more into like the metal and prog world.
Okay.
Which is like the thing that, you know, I came in with Wilhelm around, like, you know, we were talking about getting into Wilhelm. Like, I came in with them around probably like the Career Suicide or the Party Crasher days, when they were like, when Brian had joined the band and it was like, oh, this dude in this punk world is doing this like insane bass stuff. Like, I can sink my teeth into that. Like, he's a fingerstyle player. I've always been a fingerstyle player. So I'm definitely, you know, that's like way in my sort of wheelhouse. And I definitely cut my teeth playing a lot of like nerdy technical prog metal stuff and like death metal and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that was, awesome. That's sort of my background.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's cool. I love how it all fits together for you guys, for sure. So, well, okay. So this album, you guys put it out on with Sell to Heart Records, Thousand Island, and Engineer as well, correct?
Yep.
So how do, can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I'm a big fan of all those labels. I'm not too familiar with Engineer. I know some of the albums that some of the records that they put out, but definitely very familiar with Sell to Heart and Thousand Island, two awesome labels. So yeah, tell me, I'd love to hear just a little bit more about how that all came about for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. So, 2 years ago we played Pooza, and we ended up on a Thousand Island showcase. Like, it just, that's where we landed. And, so we were like just surrounded by Thousand Island bands, and One Fall also played that show. So it was just like an awesome night. And I wasn't sure. I know some of the guys had met Bruno, who runs Thousand Island at Pooza. I was running around and I didn't get a chance to say hey to him. So on Sunday, I just sent him a DM. I was like, hey, I don't know if you were in the room, but just wanted to thank you for having us be a part of your show. Like, you know, bands are all great, whatever. And he hit me back. He's like, I saw you guys. You were great. Let me know what's coming next. And so I was like, oh, cool. And we played Camp Punks that same year, and he had a booth that whole weekend. So we went over and caught up with him and just chatted some more. And we had just done our first block with Trev for the new record, so it was like fresh in our minds. And so he was just like, oh, you know, shoot me something when you have it. And sure enough, like when it was done, he's like, I'm in. So just let me know what the deal is. And then with Andy, I've been a fan of Sell the Heart for a while, because like he's put on a bunch of our friends' records, like a bunch of the Jukebox stuff and Next Scars,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And other friends. And so we were at Fest, and we were just kind of chatting with Andy, be like, oh, we're trying to find a home for this thing and this and that. And he didn't like offer anything at the time. We were just talking. And then later when the record was done, I had shot him the tunes, and he was like, have you found a US label yet? And we're like, no. He's like, would you be interested in me doing it? Like, hell yeah, we would, dude. Yes. And then Engineer is just like kind of attached to Andy's stuff. Like, if he digs it, then like he's on board and he'll do the UK thing, which is awesome, because we just did the UK last year. So like having the record be available to folks in that part of the world and have them not pay $1 billion for shipping is awesome. So like worked out really well. And the process was great. I couldn't speak highly enough about everybody involved. It's super easy to work with, and everything came out fantastic.
I don't know if you remember, Kev, we played a couple of bands before Andy's band Tsunami Bomb at Camp Punks. I think they were like two or three bands after us.
That's right.
Cause
that's
they
right.
put on their Instagram stories that we paired well with, I think they said, with a can of Narragansett and a plate of like pepperoni. and crackers or something like that. They had it was something like, oh, turns out Oh the Humanity pairs well with this. It was just like some like whatever they pulled out of the catering out of the catering area. And I was like, that's oh right. Guys, we pair well with like cheap snacks and cheap beer,
which is about right.
So
both camps, absolutely all three, I should say, have done like a great job, and yeah, we couldn't be happier with where we landed. They've been pretty great to work with.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was stoked for you guys when I saw the announcements were coming out. It was like, oh yeah, we're working with Sell the Heart, we're working at Thousand Island. I was like, man, these guys are on, are killing it right now. So tell me a little bit about you mentioned that you guys did a UK tour last year. I'd love to hear more about that experience.
Yeah, it was fun. So Kyle's partner Helen is in a band called One Fall, and awesome one of their members is originally the best. If you're listening to this and you haven't listened to them, just pause this and go do that.
You're gonna start practicing in the next room in about 20-25 minutes or so, because they practice at our house.
And like, it's basically like our sibling band, and so Helen hit me up. I think it was like February of last year. And was like, hey, we're seriously putting some thought into doing a UK run. Would you all be interested? And my gut reaction was like, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't know if in 5 months, like the guys are going to be like in a position to like go and travel to another country and do, you know, do a week of shows. And everyone was just like, with One Fall, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Like, it was like not even like a thing. It was just like, yeah, let's do it. So to her credit, Helen did damn near all the legwork. Like, she put in all the work to get like the lion's share of the shows together. We figured out merch and all the logistics of getting over there. And it was awesome. It was fantastic. Like, it really, no, like on any tour, if anyone's listening to this and not in a band, on any tour, there's like a couple clunkers, right? Like, you're going to a brand new place. No one there knows who we are or should know who we are. Right. So like, guaranteed you're going to roll into some places and like, there's going to be no one there, because why would there be anyone there? No one knows who we are.
Right.
But like every night there was like a great hang, great, like a great staff, a great place to play, like just
a great Doner kebab spot across the street.
Ooh.
Damn, every night. Like, it was just awesome. And the drives are short because it's such a small island. And we actually, along the way, we were kind of like gathering people. So like, this one dude who's now our friend, Jeff, went to 3 of the shows.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, a couple of people went to multiple shows, because like, you know, if you're crisscrossing around the island, like there's inevitably cities that are not that far from each other. Yeah, it was everything. I've been dreaming of doing a trip like that my whole life, since I was a teenager, first being in bands, and like to actually do it and have it go the way it went was awesome. It was unbelievable. Super fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. How was it? What was it like with, like the visas and everything? Did you have to get like working visas to go over there?
Yeah. So Steve, from Belvedere actually hooked us up with someone to contact, and they took care of it. So like, we paid a small fee per person and filled out a bunch of paperwork, and we did an overnight flight. We got off the flight and handed them a pile of paperwork. The people went off and did whatever they did for 15 minutes, and then they let us all in, and it wasn't an issue.
Oh, that's
awesome.
It was
like, well as it could have gone.
The customs people kind of did look at us like, you didn't need to do that. Like, they kind of like, wow, you guys are a little overprepared. But it was just like, I didn't want to mess nothing up, you know?
Yeah,
like,
we
didn't
want
to get over there, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, you can't do that, sorry.
No, exactly. Yeah, I'm just curious about that. I would love to do that at some point. You know, I'd love to go over to Europe and the UK. We've done Canada once. We did 2 shows in Canada. It was super, super fun. I know you guys are headed there. Have you done many? Well, you said you've done Pooza. I feel like Canada would, like, from what I know and what I've seen from us just being up there, like, they love that fast, shreddy skate punk. So I feel like you guys would do pretty well over there.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah, we went up, we played in Montreal in March, and it was awesome. It was like unbelievable time. And then, yeah, we've got Pooza in 2 weeks, and then we're going up for 5 days, doing a 5-day Quebec run, 5 different cities.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we're stoked. Can't wait.
What do you guys feel like, Okay, so you've been a band for 13 years. What has kept you guys? You know, a lot of times, and you start a band, and people go different directions, and you know, somebody wants to do this different style of music or something like that. What do you feel like has kept you guys sticking with this project for this long?
It's a good question. I think we care about each other as people a lot. So, like, none of us really push anyone to do anything that they're overly uncomfortable with, or if someone is uncomfortable with something, then, like, we peel back. So there's, like, the human element.
The humanity.
Yes. Yes. And also, like, most of band practice and everything we do is kind of just a hang with our buddies. You know what I mean? Like, where awesome. It's not, like, we're not just, like, a bunch of people who wanted to make music, so we're hanging out together to do that. But also there is fun time, but we're here for music. Yeah. Like, I think when we are, I mean, I'm sure Kyle can vouch, but like most of the time is dicking around, like with our friends. Like that's what most of it is. And I think because of that, like there's not a lot of pressure, even though we're doing fun stuff and we're trying to push ourselves to like go and play lots of shows and make new songs and like do all that stuff. Like even with all of that, most of it is nonsense. Like the vast majority of our time together is just like hanging out, having fun.
Yeah, there's definitely times to be serious. You know, when we're like making a record or even like the songwriting process, that gets pretty serious. But it's like, I don't know, we've never come to like blows or anything like that. You know, the other thing you said, which like people want to do different styles of music, the nice thing about this band is like, seldom does like an idea get shut down. Like there's no real like narrow definition of what this band does. So I mean, there's, you know, there's songs on this new record that are like pop punk songs or skate punk songs. There's like a couple of metal, like borderline metal songs on the record. There's like some that are a little more of the emo variety. I think there's like very few examples of like, I could imagine someone taking something to practice and it's like that's not an OTH thing. I think we're all like willing to give anything the college try, you know, even if somebody thinks it's like the stupidest idea, that person is still willing to like play it through to just be like, well, I could be wrong, but I think this is dumb and let's play it anyway and see how it goes. So there's definitely none of that. Like it has to be like this. So if somebody's like, oh, I want to do this kind of thing. And it's like, all right, man, well, then write something like that and then bring it. And then we'll see if it works. And if it does work, cool. And if it doesn't, at the very least, we can try to tweak it until it does work before we like throw it out. You know, like that doesn't usually happen. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. I didn't think about that just because, you know, I have a couple of friends and they're in like multiple different bands. They're in like a heavy band and they're a pop punk band. And then they have, you know, they just have multiple different kinds of bands because they want to scratch the itch of the different genres of music. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I guess in your guys' case, it's like you're kind of doing that with – that's your sound.
Yeah. Like Jim and I are in a grindcore band together that gets together every once in a while because like that is one thing that we legitimately could not try in this band. It just wouldn't – it would – that's like too much of a square peg in a round hole thing, you know, and it's like – so like there are certain itches that like this band will not scratch. But for the most part, it's like – you know, we just get it out, and we, Jim and I, just get it out in that band when we need to.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
You know, it's like, but for the most part, yeah, it's like, well, most anything can kind of fit, you know, especially when like one guy brings an idea to the table, it's going to go through the other four guys' filters. Like, even if it's a song, like if I write a song and bring it to practice, I'm not like, it's not so rigid that it's like you have to play every single note I put on this demo. Like, I want to make sure if you're going to play those notes that like they work for everyone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's awesome. I love to hear about like the different songwriting processes for everybody. It's really cool. Okay, Kevin, I got a question for you. So, I'm always interested in this just as a singer songwriter myself. For me, it's always like the melody comes first, like especially on a chorus or, in the verse, and then I kind of fit like the lyrics. I kind of mold the lyrics of like what I want to say, like in the cadence of how I want to say it. to that melody or that cadence? Like, how does it happen for you?
So it can be that for sure. Like sometimes, because often most of the guitar stuff is laid down before I start vocals, just because we're so guitar forward. Like in most cases, it would be difficult for me to lead with something vocal driven and then have the guys do their thing behind it. That has happened, but that's the exception. But I keep this long, I don't know how you organize lyrics, but I have this like endless Google doc that is just like, I've had it forever. And it's just like all the lyric ideas that like pop in my head. It's like 20 something pages long. And some of them are just like two lines and others are more fleshed out. And often when a song is starting to become a song, I'll be like rifling through that for ideas and be like, oh, I wonder which of, like, if I have anything for this one. And then sometimes if I do, the word choice will dictate what I do vocally. So like, if I think like, oh, this phrase okay. would work really well here. Sometimes like that will dictate, oh, so this will be that many syllables. And then once I know it's that many syllables, it's like, okay, how do I want to fit that in here? So it could, sometimes it's lyrics first, sometimes it's melody first. But yeah, it can go either way, depending on the tune.
Okay, awesome, awesome. No, I like the idea of like an ongoing Google Doc. I haven't done that.
It's just like, if I don't write something down, the second it pops in my head, it is gone forever. So it's just like, it's just this long document of misspelled phrases and just like bad punctuation. But it's like, yeah, I have to write it down or I'll lose it immediately.
I've been doing a lot of like, if a melody pops in my head, I'll just real quick, I'll hum it to on my voice memos.
Oh yeah.
Just cause I know I'll forget it. And even if it's just like, whoa, like something like that, I'll just kind of sing along to it. And then, cause a lot of times it'll happen, at the weirdest times, like right when I'm waking up or like in the middle of the night, like I've definitely went into the bathroom before with my phone to like hum a melody while my girlfriend's sleeping. Like, I don't want to wake her up, but
I did that. Helen and I were out to dinner a couple weeks ago and we were I was mid sentence and I was like, hold on, got out my phone, hummed a thing. And the greatest thing about like with her is that she gets it. Cause she does the same because also she's in a band. So I was like, I need to, and she's like, don't worry about it. I know what you mean. You know, she's like, I got it. Don't worry about it. Go do it. And I did it. And then like that, I'm glad I did because like before we got on this call, I was working on a new thing and it started from that thing that I had sung into my phone a couple weeks ago at dinner. So I was like, well, yes. Thank God I did that. Cause I don't know.
I love it. I love it. I'm glad I'm not the only one who does that. That makes me feel good. Okay. So, we're getting a little bit, I still haven't, I've just started this podcast back up again. Like, I think that you guys are actually my seventh episode. So, but we've got about 8 minutes left. So I have one more question. What do you think? So you guys have been doing this for a while. I love what you said, Kevin, about like how you guys are just good friends and like, you know, that's kept you guys together is the friendship aspect, which I feel the same about. I've always loved that about being in a band. It's like, just like the camaraderie as well. But yeah. What do you feel like has I mean, of course you guys have great music too, like, you know, but what do you feel like has attributed to your success and like, and, you know, continuing to go like onward and upward?
I think coming out of COVID, I think you'll get this answer from a lot of bands that made it through COVID. But I think coming out of COVID, we had a new sense of purpose a bit. Cause like, you know, this was taken away from us for a long time. And, you know, I had a baby right before COVID, so like I had a lot of time to be at home with my family, be focused on my family stuff, and you know, that can contribute to creativity or it can take away from creativity. You know, lots of people had a lot of losses, gains, so lots of different things happened during that time period. But like, luckily, this group of people were all recommitted to the cause, and I think that is the primary reason why this record sounds the way it does and why it's the best thing we've ever put out. The attention to detail, we were really deliberate about everything we put into this record. And, you know, with the addition of Kyle becoming a full-time member of the band coming out of COVID, lended, you know, crazy talented bass lines and also his like ability to kind of like organize us creatively, where Kyle can help us facilitate multi-track demos and then like distribute those demos and take feedback, and then we can re-record things. Like, it's just something this band had never really done before. So it's just kind of like this whirlwind of like new energy and kind of like a new process for us with preparing for recording and then recording with someone new, because everything prior to this record we've recorded with our same friend Sean, who worked at Q Division in Boston. So just like a lot of new in our camp, I think, contributed to what I think is far and away the best thing we've ever put out.
Absolutely. Kyle, I was waiting to see if you had anything to add to that.
No. No. I think for me, it was like, you know, before I was in this band, OTH was like my favorite band, certainly my favorite local band. I've been in this other band for almost as long as OTH has been a band called I Was Awake, and we used to like play with those guys a lot. And I always loved that band. Like I said, I've been friends with Jim and Chris and the old bass player Andy since high school, so going back like 25 years now. And like I remember when this band formed, and I was just like, oh cool, like my friends have this new band, I'll go check them out. And then like as they progress as a band, I was like, oh my god, like these just kept on putting out better stuff, and be like, these guys are quickly becoming my favorite band, certainly in this area. And then when I started, you know, I was like their touring bass player for a while before I joined, so I got to like sort of be in that camp, but then I wasn't. And then I remember like hearing, you know, I'd get like early access to like records they were putting out and stuff, and it was cool to see their progression. So then when I was asked to join, it was like kind of a no-brainer. And for me, it was just like, oh, I get to make like my favorite band better. Or I get to try to make my favorite band better. Hopefully I don't make it worse. But, you know, it's like, oh, I get to try to add to this band that I've watched for a long time. And they're also just friends. I mean, like I said, the friendship thing is probably the most, like, the biggest thing. Is it's like, I don't know, we'll probably just do it until we're sick of being around each other, you know? And I haven't gotten sick of being around the guys yet. So it's like, you know. Well, why? Like, what else am I gonna do?
You know? Awesome.
Am I gonna stay home and watch the fucking Masked Singer or something? Like, what else are you gonna do? It's like, I don't know.
Well, guys, this was awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm sad that I'll miss you guys in New York in a couple weeks, but I'm glad that we got to connect here. And congrats on the new album. It's very, very good. I listened to it all the way through again today, and I've listened to it all the way through on vinyl. And so, where can people find you online if they want to follow you?
At Oh The Humanity MA on all the socials, ohthehumanity.band for tour dates and all that good stuff. If you're in Canada, come see us. May and June is the time. So grab a ticket. Come see us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please do. Well, Kyle, Kevin, thank you guys so much. It was great to talk to you. I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you, buddy.
You too, man.
This will be up in a few days.
And congratulations to you, too.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, band thing, dude. That was like, we all saw that, and we were like, yeah, that checks out. Good for you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a great night.
All right, buddy.
See you.
See you.